There's a hacker in your house and he knows what you did last summer. Do as I say and as I do. And let's get ready for disruption. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP's OIT Ready program. Since 2019, OIT Ready has been helping both businesses and individuals with free temporary voice services for those affected by a natural disaster. This program is not only for OIT customers, but for any person or business affected by these events. To apply for assistance or request more information, visit oit.co/OIT Ready.
Good morning and welcome to the September 27th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. I love the opening of the show saying, hey, disaster, disaster, we will help you.
You got a little something coming up, right? Coming your way?
Mr. Nice Ian? Category. Yeah, nice Ian. Category 4 hurricane knocking on Tampa's door. So it's going to be an interesting week. Interesting. So how the heck are you doing?
I'm good. Fun fact, I have a plastic 4-foot alien my mom thought would be a cool gift for my son a couple of years ago, terrifying in my house. But he's now sitting in the Tech Bar Studios office, and we call him Ian, because Al, E-N. So a little bit of trivia when you come visit. But actually, I was looking this weekend at an article by Rolling Stones. I'm going to give you 4 songs. You tell me what you think they have in common. Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines, Starships, We Built This City, Leah Kate's Twinkle Twinkle Little Beep, and Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. Can you take a guess?
All music. You got me. I
right on the money. You're inside and oh man, you're right on the money. No, this is Rolling Stone's list of worst songs ever created. How ridiculous is that? Now,
wow.
Alan Thicke, or Robin Thicke, absolutely. But Vanilla Ice?
I don't understand. Come on.
Built the city? Come on. This gets me. I don't think I'd put that on this list. But we're not here for music. We're here for the news. So what do you say we get into it?
Let's get into the news.
Our first top story is on security. Metador lurking in ISP networks for months, as reported by Bill Tulis on Bleeping Computer. Researchers at Sentinel Labs have discovered that a previously unknown threat actor has been breaching telecoms, ISPs, and universities for at least 2 years. Dubbed Matador, the group uses two extremely complex Windows-based malware, MetaMain and Malfalda. Analysis shows that Malfalda was developed by dedicated authors because of the comments in the code addressing operators. Other than this, there were no other clues except that the group is highly aware of operational security. The discovery came after a victim organization ran SentinelOne's extended detection and response, otherwise known as XDR, solution months after being compromised. According to the researchers, the victim organization, a telecom company, had already been breached by 10 other threat actors from China and Iran. They added that it seems that the threat actor's purpose is long-term espionage and that it targets organizations in Africa and the Middle East. Tony, 10? I know we love our numbers. 10 seems a little high.
I am struggling with this because despite my best efforts, I don't understand the concept of a hacker attacking and then leaving. That just doesn't work. And how many months did you say?
This was 2 years. 2 years they've been in the system. Yeah, at least 2 years.
So. I want to point out, just we're talking hacking 101, people. If you're my mark and I get into your system, whatever you find, for all intents and purposes, is what I want you to find. So I am going to use something that is going to be far more discoverable than something else. Now, the something else is going to be something that I nest in your system deep, 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 and I can reverse SSH into, or it pings out every 3 or 4 weeks. It comes out where I can go back in reverse SSH and re-nest. But what you discover, if you are unable to discover that, then I am home free. If you do discover it, I'm going to wait another 3 to 6 months. And I'm back, but I'm not back. I've always been there. I am fascinated when people think that, hey, we have remediated this particular, exploitation or discovery. We've taken care of it. Absolutely not. There's only one way to take care of it, and that's to do a complete rebuild from ground zero. Then you have to worry about, you know, payload, importation. There's a variety of other things. I can go on and on about this, Ray. Give me your thoughts on it. I feel like I'm going off on a tangent.
And we've heard security researchers, we've heard Blackpoint, we've heard Huntress, we've heard many, many others talk about, you know, they get in, they lay low, and they do what's called living off the land. Instead of importing a bunch of utilities that would get flagged by these XDR, EDR, MDR, OPP, UNITY, whatever's, whatever we're using today, you know, they use the tools already in the systems to move laterally or to move, you know, to compromise access, gather credentials, and make whatever moves they need to do to exfiltrate data or whatever their ultimate goal is. I'd be curious as to whatever signs are there as to what was actually accomplished. Now, they say espionage, but what kind of espionage? Were they maliciously altering the data? Were they exfiltrating data to use for other competitors or what other uses? They don't really go into it, and I would love those details. Unfortunately, we're probably never going to get them. But otherwise, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the goal here is to determine root cause, where they came in from, right? The, you know, where they started the compromise, not so you can patch it and fix a system, nuke and pave. And then when you have the new system up and running,
I like that.
And then when you have the new system up and running, you make sure those holes that you found originally are plugged so it can't happen again. There is no undo button on compromise. And this is standard practice everywhere. If you think that, you know, cleaning your virus off your system really does anything other than make you feel a little bit better at night, you're lying to yourself. And there's better ways to do that. I have a whole bar of bourbon. You can do it that way, but you know, but that's good enough for now. But Tony, I'm going to be shopping around for a job, and I heard you're offering some apprenticeships. Can you help me out with that?
Absolutely. In Inc.com, a story by Stephen Weiss. Are you having trouble filling skilled roles? Consider an apprenticeship program. From software engineering to trade technicians, new talent can be found by training people on the job. More and more companies are turning to the apprenticeships as a solution for their hiring woes. According to the Department of Labor, the number of apprentices at U.S. companies has doubled over the past 10 years, and companies increasingly see them as a solution in an environment where two job openings are available for every one person looking for work. Apprenticeships offer a way to hire a team member who shows an ability to learn skill sets, even if they're not quite there yet. As a hiring tactic, apprenticeships seem to be a smart move. According to the Department of Labor, 93% of apprentices stay in their job upon completion of the apprenticeship. Compare that with a retention rate of for a company's intern at only 67% 1 year later. Ray, interns, apprentices, hiring good employees, hiring bad employees. Give me your take on this, because there's so many different flavors of this and there's a lot of questions, but from somebody who has had a company, who has had multiple companies, what have you done? Have you played around with this? Have you touched this? Do you shy away from it? Give us your advice.
You know, it's one of those things. I love to see stories like this because I get to go back and be like, yeah, I've been doing that for 20 something years. You know, for those that don't know my background, I actually got into technology because I was in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. I was the little. My big brother was an IBM engineer, and he'd take me out and do stuff a couple times a week, take me out to contracts, and that's playing with satellite communications, AS400s, you name it. It was awesome. It was fun. Touching stuff, I had no business doing at 8 years old. So when I got older and started my second or third business, I forgot which, I wanted to do the same thing. I just didn't have the time commit available. So we did it through the company. We had I called them internships. One thing this article taught me a little differently was they distinguish internships from apprenticeships in that apprenticeships provide training in addition to the actual on-the-job training. They provide classroom or workbook or whatever training. We've done that from day one. I mean, I've been doing that for literally decades. I'm a big fan of it. I sit on college and high school advisory boards. I have for years. I help them craft the programs. I help them find what skills are marketable immediately after graduation or whenever they go into their next journey. I love bringing them on. We've always done paid. I call them internships. Apparently they're apprenticeships. But I bring them in and, you know, we do that and it would help me identify, okay, well, we have a 6 week or 12 week program where I get to identify who are the rock stars, who are the all-stars, who are the ones that I'd like to keep them for a little bit longer. And, you know, inevitably one or two would be, you know, position worthy. We'd open up a position and give them the opportunity. And it was a great opportunity to get to know them. And for the ones that didn't, they had an actual resume that they could go take when they entered the workforce. Because I remember I had friends growing up. And when I say growing up, I mean my 20s, 30s, where people would come to me and they'd say, hey, I just graduated this college program. I have nothing on my resume and I can't get a job. I have a bachelor's, I have a master's, and I can't get a job because I have zero experience. And I'd say, come work with me. We'd work for 6 months. They'd be in whatever we're doing, the MSP or whatever it was. And they'd go out and they'd find a second or third level job because of the experiences they gained. I'm a big fan of that. Coming in our next segment, we're going to talk to Dave Sobel, and I'll tease that a little bit. But, you know, we were talking about relating it to professional firms. And the one thing I think back now about all the professional firms we talk about, they absolutely require apprenticeship, whether it's residency, whether it's apprenticeship years for your mortgage license or for legal or for electrician. It doesn't matter. You absolutely have to do apprenticeship before you're qualified to work on your own. IT does not, and I think it should. Am I off base, Tony? What's your take here, man?
No, you're speaking my language. And at the end of the day, I've said that, listen, I've interviewed, you know, over 1,000 people, with amazing, degrees and certifications. I've interviewed very few people with a successful history in what I'm looking for. And when you look at it like that, you say, wow, I mean, maybe if you had a little experience, this is the answer to that. And apprenticeships are everywhere. It's also called, what's that called? Dating. Dating is an apprenticeship for marriage. I know, awkward, as weird as it sounds.
It is, though. Right.
I'm a huge, huge fan of it. I've been on the boards of universities locally. We started the apprenticeship program with St. Petersburg College, and 7-8 years ago. Average employee length is 8 years that we hire. We hire so many from there. I cannot endorse this enough. So please, 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 everyone, talk about it. Give us your opinions on apprentices. If you had good experiences, personally, I've had amazing experiences and I've had some that are, well, maybe that's a totally different segment, not the best experiences. But let's jump into the next story, Ray, because I hear that we have an amazing guest. Can you kick it off for us?
I don't know about amazing. No, I'm kidding. We do have a friend of the show, somebody that's been on before, and we're very lucky to have him back on. We talked about Dave Sobel's Business of Tech interview with Mr. Marcus Olson of Pliancy, previously TSG. He did the first part last week, and Dave was unable to join us. He is able to join us this week upon the heels of releasing his part two, and we will include that link in the show notes. It's a great interview. It's a little under 30 minutes. I absolutely invite everybody to go listen to it. But Dave, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you. We couldn't have you last week because you were at the MSP Alert live event. But now that we have you, what's your takeaway of this? I'm just going to say brilliant young man.
Oh, well, he's way smarter than I am, and you guys are flattering me, and I appreciate it. What's really interesting to me on this space is I've been having lots of conversations with different providers about the future. Like, what does disruption look like? What does the future look like? And in fact, I've had many, you know, successful businesses talk to me about a model that looks a lot more like consulting. What was interesting to me about Marcus was because the pushback I always got was, oh, small. Oh, that doesn't scale. And then I talked to Marcus, and it's like, oh, well, he bootstrapped to $36 million in revenue. It's like, how big do you guys need me to find somebody to say that I'm actually like that this is a thing? You know, it's like, okay.
Well, don't forget, my market's different, right?
Right. My market's different. My business is different. It's like, guys, I think there's something happening here. I think we want to talk about it. Mark is it's a fascinating interview. He's got some really bold opinions, which I appreciate, on the way the industry is going and what disruption will look like. And again, everybody, $36 million in revenue, 130 some employees.
And before we say my market's different, we need to recognize Marcus is not in one state. He has opened offices in multiple states chasing clients. So he is, I mean, this is not this only works in California, this only works in Boston, this only works right. in Texas. He's opened offices everywhere. Go look at his website and then say my market is different.
Right, exactly. So let's stop making the excuses. Let's actually start talking about the points, right? Because one of the things is that I've been thinking about is that this market has the conditions that I feel are ripe for disruption, right? It has incumbent tools providers. It has a legacy of industry professionals that have been doing this a very long time. And by the way, a lot of money swirling around saying, how can we do something in this space? I don't know. I read the tea leaves and I say, somebody's going to try something different here. and what's that going to look like? Again, I always sort of quip and go, if I had that answer, you think I'd run the playbook. But I don't. So I'm talking about it to sort of say, like, I think this is worth exploring. Let's figure out what that might look like.
But, you know, one of the things I love about the interview is, and you know this, you've been in the space a really long time. Tony, I'm sure, will back me up on this. None of us are saying extremely unique things. It's the same standards that work over and over and over again. It's just good business. You talk to any MSP, anyone that considers themselves an MSP, and they'll say it's all about standardization. It's all about scalability. But then they throw everything in their, you know, everything that comes up with every shiny new tool, they throw it at their clients and they wonder why stuff doesn't work. And then I look at someone like Marcus and he says, no, we're going to take best in class solutions and we're going to do it to derive the absolute best possible outcome for the client. If Okta was the best, we're going to make a multi-tenant option for the client so we can give enterprise class security. We're not going to take, I love the Zoom story, right? The Zoom story was great because it was letting a tech choose, oh, let's throw free Zoom at it. And I don't want to give away too much, but it was essentially, let's put free Zoom for every client. And when the client had that first drop call, because free Zoom is only, 48 minutes, 52 minutes, something like that. I should know as a telco. I should know that one. But I know it's under an hour. But that first drop call and the client was pissed off, he realized, no, let's go do the paid Zoom. But that takes money. And it's okay to charge more for the services once you're getting the best end result. Why aren't more MSPs doing this? I have my opinions, but Tony, why aren't more MSPs doing this? More money, better results, more scalability. Why is that so scary?
You're just being too rational here. Who do you think you are with this? I mean, you mentioned it out of the gate where, I mean, all three of us, how often do you see all three of us going to all of these side speaking events and the breakout sessions? We've seen it all. We've spoken at them so many times. Like all of us are like, oh yeah. But it's the same thing. The good news is that the MSPs really need to be reminded of these best practices. And at the end of the day, the bigger picture, unfortunately, gets lost in a lot of the, you know, focusing on the core competencies or the core pillars as they support their business. If you back up, frankly, it's a much bigger thing than chasing after the crumbs. And I think the people in this room understand a bigger picture scenario where if you set up just a few pillars, you're good. You don't have to set up any more up. You're good. You've got a core structure of your company to move forward. I think we've seen this so many times over the last decades, watching the MSP evolve from a VAR to an MSP to a TSP. And apparently now a consultant, whatever phrase that, from a consultant to a VAR, to an MSP, to a TSP, to a consultant again?
Tony, I actually think you've hit on where my head's going with all this. I think this is swinging around to the true value being consultancy. And I think the statement I've been making for a long time on this, and I still believe this, is that the core value of an IT services company is helping their customers with their technology. That statement is remain true. And I've been wondering whether or not this experiment, diversion, implementation of pure managed services while it distinctly has business value for the provider, may end up being something of a legacy distraction from the core value. Because if you're trying to standardize away all of the unique expertise, well, maybe you've taken away some of your core value. And maybe we're re-examining that in a world where that piece can be commoditized. Everyone's holding back up and saying, well, wait a second, my key value is I give good guidance on your technology services. Maybe I should focus on that.
And real quick to add on to that, sorry, real quick, just to be very clear, because I feel like we're hitting something incredibly important. Let's create the core value that the delivery to the customer may be a little different. And there, it's almost like there's a core value with a parenthetical. This is kind of what we're doing along the way. And maybe these sessions that we've all spoke at, we've been on the panels for, maybe these sessions are reminders or the a la carte, you know, portion of us understanding what the ingredients should be for this core statement, this core value statement to customers. Is that kind of where you're going with that? Am I way off base?
No, that's the core value. And I mean, delivering business advice on technology services to your customers. Let's also break down a quick moment of that's vendors want to get in on that, right? If you are they sell a widget that they want you, the advisor, to do something nice with. You know, they want you to sell more widgets, and in fact, will incentivize you to sell more widgets. If we get in the DeLorean, we go back, you know, 15, 20 years when all this started. It was lots of small companies working with other lots of small companies. As there's been more money, more investment, they have more resources to make a lot more noise and deliver stronger messages into the market. And I think that we need to recognize that they are incumbents that want you to continue to sell their widgets. Maybe their widget isn't part of the solution in your new advice going forward, right? If you're the independent advisor, maybe the widget that has been good for 20 years, maybe that isn't the widget of the future.
I want to touch on, and I know we're running short on time, but I want to touch on an analogy you gave that I completely went like deep dive. I read the stars, read the tea leaves, got some smoke signals, found an old priest and a new priest. But you gave an analogy of accounting, of CPAs and accounting. And obviously Marcus gave his feedback on the interview, but can you give your insight to share with our audience where you're going with that?
Yeah. So I think a lot about industries that technology services looks like, because I'm trying to draw lessons from established industries. We are theoretically a younger industry, so I look to other ones. I've explored doctors, I've explored lawyers, but one I find that is interesting to explore is CPAs. And the reason I looked at it is I think there's several ways to look at it and several ways to slice and dice this and get some value. But for me, I looked at it and said, well, there's large CPA firms that do business with other large CPA firms, you know, your Arthur Anderson type accounting firms. Then there's space for nationwide chains, you know, like an H&R Block that services in a very standardized way. They go consumer and they also go small business. And there's space for super boutique organizations. I left go. I'm early in my career, I worked with a CPA, kid you not, called Honesty and Right. They're two men, that was their last names. Kid you not. But they were a small boutique CPA firm. This feels like an analogy that might work for our space. Nothing's ever perfect, right? You draw analogies for learning, not to say we're exactly that. But I will also observe that most of these other spaces I look for also do layer in some level of official certification. And again, I think there are parallels in what I see coming for our space. So that's where my head's at when I explore these other spaces. With Marcus, I actually bring this one up specifically. I won't tease his answer because I thought it was super insightful. But at that point, that's why I'm pulling these other industries to say, well, what can we learn from them?
And if you like this kind of content, I'll take a page from your playbook. If you like this kind of content, go ahead and subscribe to Dave's channel, listen to his podcast, Business of Tech. We'll include the links below. amazing stuff on his YouTube channel, the special stuff. And as it is the first thing I listen to every morning. I listen to the previous day's Business of Tech. So thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate you. We'll leave the links to everything down below. You want to tease us on what's coming up next?
I'll give you two. So I've got an AI interview coming out with a man who's written a book on AI in you and how it's applied in different industries. And then beyond that, I'm actually talked with somebody who's focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion and some of the big mistakes businesses make both in hiring and in building culture and trying to address that. So those are two of the interviews that I've got coming up.
I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Dave. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Dave. And jumping into our first notable mention, a story in bleepingcomputer.com by Sergio Gatlan. CISA warns of critical manage engine RCE bug used in attacks. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has added a critical severity Java deserialization vulnerability affecting multiple Zoho manage engine products to its catalog of bugs exploited in the wild. This security flaw, CVE-2022-35405, can now be exploited in low complexity attacks without requiring any user interaction. To gain control, remote code execution on servers running unpatched Zoho Managed Engine PAM360 and Password Manager Pro without authentication, or Access Manager Plus with authentication software. Federal agencies have 3 weeks until October 13th to ensure that their networks are protected from exploitation attempts. MSPs, this is your time. And our next notable mention, Teslarati, a story by Simon Alvarez, talks about Starlink brings high-speed internet to all 7 continents, including Antarctica. Elon Musk was not kidding when he stated that Starlink is designed to provide high-speed internet access to everywhere in the globe. The idea of Starlink providing high-speed internet access to Antarctica seemed far-fetched a few years ago, but as per SpaceX's post on Twitter, it is now possible to provide internet access to extremely remote locations like Antarctica, thanks to Starlink's Space Laser Network, which reduces the need for ground stations.
In my first notable mention, Windows 11 warns when typing your password in Notepad, as reported by Lawrence Adams on bleepingcomputer.com. Windows 11 22H2 now comes with enhanced phishing protection, a security feature warning users when they enter their Windows password in insecure applications or websites. Commonly acquired through insecure apps like word processors, text editors, and spreadsheets, Windows credentials are invaluable to threat actors as these allow them to access internal networks. According to Microsoft, typing your password in a phishing form without submitting is enough to be stolen. To counter this, Smart Screen identifies and protects corporate password entry on phishing sites, password reuse on any app or website, and passwords typed into text editors or Microsoft 365 apps. In addition, admins can configure which warnings should be shown to end users. This feature is only available to Windows 11 22H2 and is not enabled by default. As opposed to PIN, it requires a Windows password to log in. In my second notable mention, 10 new features in Outlook. In a video by Mike Holfson, he mentions 10 new features coming to Outlook that are already available in preview. Among these include message reactions, Teams and Outlook integration updates, Outlook dictation updates, multiple time zones, and event charms. For the full list, you can watch the video. The link will be below in the show notes. In our feedback section from YouTube, we have Joshua Smith on the last episode. Any more insight on how you're doing desired state configuration for DNS records for your clients? Joshua, I'm not going to get too far into it on this episode.
I told you that was hot. I told you. I said,
I'll give you a secret. Okay. So here, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. So as opposed to doing your DNS records in your DNS platform, right? Cloudflare, NameSilo, Namecheap, whatever. As opposed to doing it there and then documenting in your RMM, I went backwards. I would document them. We use Hudu, but I would document them in my documentation platform, Hudu, IT Glue, doesn't matter, Passportal, doesn't matter, whatever it is. Document them there and then use a script that will take that, compare it to the current DNS records, and apply any changes based on your documentation. If there's any changes, the API or your script should notice it and send an alert to whatever your knock channel happens to be. If it's a queue, if it's a board or whatever it is, remove it and leave it in your channel so you can reapply the appropriate way. Basically, you're taking, as opposed to saying, I'm going to make these changes every time, you're saying, this is the known good configuration. We will not deviate from this. It's just proper ITIL management. That's all it is. But again, if you want, comment in the section below, and maybe we'll do a technical deficit episode. And for some feedback from our MSP, we have accidental MSP. This is about the exact response I thought I was going to happen. 311, LOL. You guys and CISA need to cross post to our took too much. How do you see this playing out in real life? 311, what's your emergency? My printer, it won't stop printing blank pages. Or send someone quickly. My cash register says pay Bitcoin or do something. And who do you envision paying for all this? Can we just take CISA's budget away and give it to this stroke of genius? Okay, so with this said, I get it. Too many chefs in a kitchen. The last thing you want is another party reaching out to your client, telling them what to do. But I will say this. If your clients are reaching out to 311 instead of you, that's the MSP's fault. You have to have the conversation before they look to do their own thing. Left to their own devices, that means you didn't have the conversation with them, and that's the MSP's fault. And if you think I'm full of it and I need to go do something, put it in the comments below, and we'll talk about that too on another episode.
We will. And Ray, let's jump into some community events. On September 28th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Build It Better MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. On September 28th and 29th, an in-person event, ASCII Success Summit in New Jersey. On September 29th and the 30th, another in-person event, Cybersecurity Marketing Roadshow in Boston, Massachusetts. On September 29th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar, episode number 44 with Vince Chrysler of Dark Cube. I'm actually going to be watching that during the hurricane. And finally, on September 30th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by Ray Orsini and yours truly.
Hey, I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're your hosts for The Tech
the
Bar.
The Tech Bar.
Join us next episode featuring special guest Vince Chrysler of Dark Cubed.
I heard he's bringing gifts.
We love gifts.
Pull up a stool every other Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for drinks, jokes, and games with your friends in the MSP channel at The Tech Bar.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit a thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? Unlike last week, I'm actually going to tell you, go to the link in the show notes. The Discord link is there. You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. All right, Tony. We lived, we laughed, we loved, we disagreed with the worst songs of all time. Vanilla Ice should not be on there.
Ray, I want to end it with this. Hosting this show, this is my desired state of configuration. This is what I want to be. This is right here, where I want to be, right here. This is my desired state of configuration, and I know that others share that feeling. We've got to do a whole show on the desired state configuration, by the way. It's amazing.
I don't know how to say that more eloquently than what you just did. You said that our audience is the desired state configuration. And with that, take care of yourselves and each other. We DSC you guys.
Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Researchers at Sentinel Labs have discovered that a previously known threat actor, that helps if I say that correctly, dubbed Matador, now, what does strike me is, I had a thought and I completely totally lost it.
I was like, this is so intriguing. What happened? What just happened?
Yes. What happened? No.
Jumping into our first notable mention, bleepingcomputer.com, a story by Sergey. I completely hosed this one every single time. So can you help me with this one, Sergio? The federal agencies have 3 weeks until October 13th to ensure that their networks are protected from exploits. Hi, Ray. You have a new event. Was that charming enough? This is a new feature in Outlook.
Dude, freaking emojis. Like Microsoft, like here's 3 useful features and here's 10 emojis. Whoop the freaking do.
Hey, it's like, what do you do? I'm on the emoji team.
But Tony, we have some feedback from RMSP. Or am I reading that too? Just saw the show notes.
I was going to say, we do, and you're reading that.
All right. Or send someone quickly. My cash register says pay Bitcoin or do something.
or do something. You guys, can we even post that? I don't think
we can post that. Well, they were going to blank it out. So I'm reading off the show notes. And have any questions? Email news@mspd.com. So close.